we're going to ask questions, and pretty much the floor is open. I think the idea is some of these guys, they've been on the journey, they're a bit ahead of you in life, and the idea is to get some wisdom from them. Okay, sometimes we need some wisdom from some people who are a little bit older than us, and I think that's really important. So you can text in questions.
I'm going to take some of the bass
to that number there,
Mike, because it's really like booming.
They are going to be filtered, so just be sensible with the questions. I can see Ed Nix will be smiling already, and he's just ready to go. But be sensible with the questions, but also take this opportunity. We've got half an hour. Just take this opportunity to get as much wisdom from these guys as you can. So first we're going to introduce them. So why don't you guys say your name, like your favourite hobby, what you do, and an exciting fact about you. Do you want to start, Catherine?
Hello, I'm Catherine. I'm struggling to think of interesting facts and my favourite hobbies, but I do like singing and I do like playing netball. Interesting fact about me. Exciting fact about me. I'm from Christchurch, so I don't know if that's terribly exciting. You might have to come back to me with the interesting fact.
Hi, I'm Chloe. I am a teacher. I teach year sevens. An exciting fact about me. Well, I enjoy going for walks and tramps. That's pretty fun. Not sure if that's exciting, but that's what I like doing.
My name's Lee, and Chloe is my wife. And I like to play basketball and guitar. And an exciting fact, I once wrestled a bear with my bare hands.
Hey, I'm Tim. I'm a teacher at Oakmont College. I said, really good. Oakmont College.
That's smart. Yeah. Hey, I've been a Christian since I was 16.
Wow.
And I'm ancient now. And I wouldn't want it any other way.
Yeah.
Exciting fact about me. I don't think it's anything exciting. I get really, really motion sickness. We flew over to the barrier this weekend, last week, first week of the holidays, and I was grabbing at the bag all the time, and that's not really exciting, is it?
Hi, I'm Shannon. So I'm a teacher at Pinnons Point Primary School. I teach year 3s and 4s. One of the best age groups. Sorry to any other teachers here. they're amazing. I think one interesting fact about me, you guys might not find this interesting, but I really love like general facts, like just random general facts and asking questions. So it's like, it's a weird thing. Like if you talk to any of my friends, I ask a lot of questions. And yeah, I think one thing that I love anything to do with musicals, drama, singing, anything creative design. I love doing stage sets and anything like that. It's something I really enjoy.
Awesome. So now you know these guys really well, which is exciting. Hey, so we're just going to quickly get into these questions. One's come through, which I think is an awesome question. How do you keep your faith once you leave your house and go to university by yourself? Lots of these guys are heading into that age group, but also maybe for the intermediates when they head into high school as well. How do they keep their faith?
I know.
Hi. I went to University of Otago, and some of you may know that's got a bit of a reputation for being kind of central. And I lived in the halls of residence, and yeah, it was crazy. But when I went there, I decided, well, this is my story anyway, I decided that, one, I was going to go to church every week, irrelevant of what time I went to bed, I was going to church every week, and I decided I was going to find a Connect group or get involved straight away. And I also decided before I got there what I thought about drinking, because that's a major peer pressure thing. And so when I got there, basically the first day about 7 people asked me if I wanted to go to the liquor store, and I decided no, I didn't want to go to the liquor store because the Bible says do not get drunk. And so for me it was really important to find a group of Christians straight away and to connect with them and to not compromise on the things that I decided that I didn't want to do, irrelevant of whether people thought that was going to be fun or... I basically had to decide whether I was more interested in having friends or more interested in following Jesus. And if you don't make the decision before you go, there is the potential that you kind of get swept away with everything else, because the environment is intense. So you've got to make sure that you set yourself up before you get there. Not sure if that really answers the question, but...
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I agree. If you fail to plan, if you fail to make a decision before you go, there's an old saying, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And it goes on and on and on. So if you get a job and you don't make a decision that I'm going to save 50%, then you'll never save 50%. If you go to uni and you don't make a decision that you're going to hang out with these people, did you know that you become the five people that you hang out with the most? So whoever you hang out with, whether it's in the pub or in church, you're going to become like the five people you hang out with the most.
Yeah.
So make a call now.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, so actually when I left high school, I moved out of home straight away and I actually went into the workforce. I think for me, especially in the workforce, you know, lots of conversations are happening and lots of... conversations that you're kind of like, oh, I don't really probably want to get into. So I think for me, I had to actually personally have my own relationship with God and not base it off other people, because you can get caught up in the hype and everything. But unless you have your own deep relationship with God, it does become a struggle. Like, I had to kind of know, you know, what I believed and what I wanted to do. And so alongside, you know, getting involved in a church. So I grew up in Wellington, so I got involved in a Arise church down there. And the number one thing that they said was to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you can so easily just fall away.
Yeah.
And you actually have to know for yourself, like, what you believe.
Yeah.
Because that's how people do easily fall. So,
yeah.
Awesome. And this question kind of follows on from that. So how do you share your faith if you're afraid of getting judged, you know, get into these hostile environments, university, high school? Like, how do you actually share your faith without, you know, it can be scary, you know, you are afraid of getting judged, and I think it's going to happen, but how do you, like, get through that?
I can start with that one. I think there's the art of asking questions. So, yeah, I do love asking questions. And Dave Mann always says, it's not about trying to pick a fight or trying to, you know, get in a debate. You can actually ask people questions. So if you're like, you know, oh, so why do you think that? Or why do you believe that? Or, you know, things like that. And it's kind of, in a sense, you're prompting, like, they're prompting their thinking, like, actually, why do they think that? Just being their friend, I think, is also just a massive thing. I know, especially for my non-Christian friends, me just being there for them and accepting them and just being alongside of them, like, for a whole year during uni, later on when I went, I had a friend who had for the first 2 years, she pretty much didn't ask me one question about God. The last year, she was constantly asking questions, and I didn't even ask her one question, or even, I just mentioned, yeah, I just went to church on the week, or things like that. And it was just from that, she just became curious about why I was different and did different things. Yeah.
Okay, so back to, like I said, I lived in the halls of residence, so I went and lived in the halls straight after school. And as soon as I, like I said, my very first night, everyone's like, should I come to the liquor store? I decided I'm not going to the liquor store. And this happened time and time again, and I was like, I'm never going to make any friends at this rate, because that's the only thing that people wanted to do. And so, but I trusted that God would eventually give me some friends that didn't want to do that, and I eventually found them, and most of them weren't Christians. It's not like all of my friends in the halls were Christians by any means, but they kind of eventually, some of them, well, there's this one situation I remember where 7 girls came up to me and said, "Why aren't you drinking?" It was very confronting, and I said, "I don't want to." And over time, I didn't become friends with them, but the other people I was friends with came to respect the fact that I didn't want to drink. And I think sometimes just sticking to what you say you're going to do, sticking to your still going to church, still doing all those things, still trying to live out your Christian values without necessarily saying stuff, that, like, showing that integrity and their consistency speaks huge volumes.
Yeah.
The fact that you are still consistent even after however many months or whatever, they see that. They see that you still do whatever, especially in the halls of residence, people know that you go to church. Like, I remember going to a camp and some, like, 5 people came up to me and said, "How was your camp?" I was like, "I'll tell you what's going on camp." People just found out, and people found out that you're a Christian. And sometimes, I think also what Shannon said about asking questions, because sometimes people would say, "Oh, have you been to this camp?" And I said, "Yes." And they said, "Have you ever been to church?" And it's amazing what just asking, "Have you ever been to church?" opens up. Because sometimes people are quite happy to tell you about their experience with church. "Oh, I have been to church once with my grandmother when I was 7. And, oh, how was that?" And now suddenly you're talking about church, and from there sometimes you can kind of gauge maybe where to go from there.
That's awesome. Another question, kind of changing tact a little bit. So maybe this is good for you, Chloe and Lee. What is some advice that you would give to your teenage self?
Yes, husband's first, right? is there any context in this?
Anything.
I think one of the things that are coming quite strong is to, you know, be yourself and know who you are as a person, and know who you are in God. And also to make some decisions before you get into the situations. As a teenager, I decided that I didn't want to have a boyfriend until I was older, and that was a decision that I made until I met Lee. And then it changed, but I was 17 then. But yeah, if you're knowing what you want before you get to those ages, it's a lot easier, or before you get to those circumstances, it's way easier to make the choices that you know are right and that you know are right for you. It doesn't depend on, you don't always have to have the right choice as your friends. God created us all different, and it's okay for you not to do the same things as your friends. It doesn't mean that it necessarily is right or wrong, but yeah, knowing how you feel about different situations before you get into them is probably one of the best pieces of advice you can before you get into your teen years.
I'll just quickly say I wasted a lot of time chasing girls, okay? And I wish, if I went through high school again, that I just didn't have any girlfriends, and I just hung out with my mates and had girl mates, that's okay. And just concentrated on my sports, not so much school, didn't do that great at school. But that's what I'd say, because eventually God will bring along the perfect person, and yeah, just a lot of wasted time doing that. That was my experience. But.
Amen to that.
Going on from that, our kids, when they were in school, my wife said to my sons, "You're not allowed girlfriends. Don't even think about it. You're not allowed girlfriends." And when they got to year 12, they were laughing at all their mates who weren't allowed to go out with them because they had girlfriends. They had no freedom left because they had girlfriends. they wanted to go and do all the things, hang out with their mates, but they weren't allowed to. They had girlfriends. You had to stay with them.
Come on.
And so they actually thanked us for making them just feel a little bit older before they were allowed relationships. They probably got to year 13, I suppose, before they started thinking about it. Yeah. Oh, sorry. One thing that I did want to say about this, I had a hell of a lot of trouble with my identity when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And one thing I would say to my teenage self is, I need to learn that God loves me unconditionally.
Yeah.
And I need to learn that every day I need to have a session with her. Every day, morning or not, whenever, I need to get with him and I need to have a chat with him. And I need to read some of his word. If I wished when I was, I didn't become a Christian until I was 16, but even in my teenage years, if I had done that, I would have saved myself a whole lot of trouble. And the other thing that I wanted to tell my teenage self is that it's not really important what other people think of you. What's really important is what God thinks of you. And that's what you need to concentrate on.
Awesome. So following on from Don't Chase Girls, what is your opinion or advice on being in a non-Christian relationship? Non-Christian relationship. So chasing someone who isn't a Christian.
So something that's really important when you're looking for someone else is to have the same kind of values and the same ideas, because as you get to know someone, especially in a relationship kind of way, you're wanting to grow together. And if you are having a relationship with a non-Christian, they're not going to have the same, they might have some of your same values, but they're not going to have the same relationship with God as what you have. And so it gets to be really tricky when you are not heading towards the same point, the same place. And you can't share those exciting experiences that you have with God if, with your boyfriend or girlfriend if they're not into God like you are. So it makes it a little bit tricky for that side of things.
You know, I'm going to go there. If you go with a non-Christian, sooner or later your hormones are going to take over. Sooner or later you're going to fail. You're going to end up in bed with them, and that's not God's design. You cannot control your instincts when you're alone with somebody. You might be saying, hey God, this is me, I want to marry this person. Forget it don't work like that. Doesn't matter whether you're male or female. So they say that a guy will say, I love you because he wants sex. They say that a girl will say, you can have sex because I want you to love me. That's the only reason. Once you start down that track, it's really hard to come back from it. And if you go hanging out with somebody who ain't a Christian, sooner or later, that's where it's going to go. So make a call. Once again, make a call now. You think, oh no, we'll be right, we'll be right. We'll just have a little kiss. We'll have a little patch. We'll just go behind a bike seat. We'll be cool. Everybody can... Actually, we'll just do it down the back where everybody can see us in the movies. It doesn't stop there. You make a call now because it'll go and it'll go and it'll go. And you won't even realize it. It might take you a year, but you won't even realize it. And if your partner's a non-Christian, sooner or later, they're going to drag you that way. Or they're going to drag you to substance abuse. Or they're going to drag you to, like I said, different values. Values that you know are wrong, but you want to keep them in your relationship, that tight relationship, and you go, oh, okay, I'll just do it once. It doesn't stop. You need to put your hand up now and say, I'm never going to. Decide now.
Sorry, guys, I'm
teaching. Can I just say also that just because the person that you might want to date is a Christian doesn't mean that you should date them? Because I've got a boyfriend now, but before that, several Christian guys have asked me out before, like legit Christian guys, but God definitely told me not to date them, and I didn't date them. But I just... They weren't all weird to me, a couple of them were weird. But if you want to go forward with God, you need to make sure that whoever you date is not going to distract you from what he has for you.
Yes.
And if that person is not who God wants you to have in your life, it's going to be a distraction, because essentially if you are in a relationship with someone that God doesn't want you to be in a relationship with, that is disobedience, and that is going to take you away from being able to pursue him with your whole heart. So I would encourage you, if you are wanting to date someone or if you are dating someone, to ask God whether you should be dating them. Not just ask them God to, and wait and pray until you hear yes or no. Just like, I didn't hear no, it's not yes. Like, keep praying until you either hear yes, or like maybe, you know, like you need to keep praying until you hear yes, or if you hear no, you need to act on that. Because if you, I think, well, this is my thoughts anyway, like if you're in a relationship with someone, if you're not married to them yet, you need to be willing to break up with them if that's what God says. Because if you're not willing to do that, then that relationship has become an idol and has become before God.
Yeah, come on, good call.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's awesome. So how do you handle friends that you know are doing the wrong thing? So maybe they are in this relationship they shouldn't be in, or they're out partying and drinking and doing all these things, and you want to give them advice, you want to tell them not to, but it's hard because they're your friend, and they might not listen to you as, you know, or maybe they will, but how do you handle that?
It doesn't get any easier as you get older. I've got one mate who's been on my mind this week, who's a Christian guy, and he's been making some interesting decisions, and I've just been like, how can I tackle it? And what I've sort of concluded is that I'll just say to him, bro, I love you no matter what, but let's just go get a drink sometime or a coffee, and let's just have a chat. And I'm not judging you or anything, but I just want to have a chat with you. And whatever comes from that, just know that we're just going to be friends. And cause I mean, yeah, what else can you do except love them? You just got to love them no matter what, and then support them. And then eventually, just pray that they'll come through it.
I think, well, for me personally, I kind of put them in two different categories: my friends who are not Christians and friends who are Christians, because there is different expectations. Because obviously, as a Christian, we live under God, and we, you know, He's our upline compared to those who, you know, they're not living, you know, under God's authority. So I think for my non-Christian friends, sometimes, like, I pretty much for both of them, I pray about it, and I'm constantly praying for them in that situation and that the situation would turn around. And sometimes God, you know, prompts me to actually go, you know, talk to my non-Christian friends and saying, hey, is this something that you really should be doing, you know, that kind of thing, what are the consequences, that kind of thing. Obviously I do it very lightly. If it's my Christian friends, I think sometimes the number one thing is to always pray, no matter what, but also to go with a boldness, because you never know, obviously, what the outcome's going to be, and sometimes it will end up backfiring, and, you know, they sometimes don't want to hear. But to not take that on, obviously, because if you're going in full force, like, kind of thing, obviously you might need to rethink about how you approach that. But I think if you've done it with a heart of kindness and a heart of love, and you're just saying, hey, you know, this is what God really wants for you, and really believing for you, if you come with a heart of love, at least 95% of the time it does work, and people take on that. Sometimes out of the response, it's because sometimes they've had a conviction, or because they've actually been hurt, and sometimes it's out of a defense kind of thing. Yeah.
So sometimes I think, rather than saying what you think, it's better to ask questions first.
Yeah.
And you can do it in like a, you know, reasonably, you can do it in a somewhat direct way. So you can say like, oh, I've noticed this, or why are you doing this, or why haven't you been here, or I don't realise you've been hanging out with these guys, is there a reason why, or I notice maybe this, like, that can give you a bit of a gauge as well as to how defensive they may or may be about the situation, because sometimes just the this is what I've seen laying down the law doesn't go so well, so sometimes you've got to kind of find or ask enough questions that you know all the facts first before you say, have you thought of these things?
I think sometimes if you're on the receiving end of like someone hitting you up about something, we can get our walls up and get defensive and why are you saying this to me, like there's nothing wrong with me, and we can get defensive, but just know that they are coming at you with a heart of like, we care about you, we love you, I've noticed this, how can we journey this together? That's a good idea. Hey, so next term we're actually at City Youth Tauranga and Coast, we're doing a thing called Known, which is all about having your identity in Christ. So it's kind of a broad question, but How do I put my identity in Christ and not other things?
I think the number one thing is to actually firstly know your worth and know the power of actually why you're here, that you have a purpose, that you're not a mistake, and to actually know whose you are. And we are God's, and you probably hear this all the time, but you actually need to believe it and know it yourself. If you don't believe it, like I, for years, I didn't believe in who I was, and I had a really crazy identity in actually who I thought I was, but I actually, you know, because the world can tell you so much, and we all know this. We understand what fake news is. We know when, you know, things are coming at us, but then we still go through these struggles, and we're like, why? And I've had to learn that every day I actually have to get up, and I have to actually believe, and I have to say, I'm worthy, I'm loved, I'm cared for, I'm not the person next to me. My purpose is so different, and the purpose that I have is unique, and the gifts that I have are unique according to God's plans for my life. You know, I might not be, you know, as good as someone else, you know, in my workplace or in any area of my life, but they have their gifts, and we need to, you know, make sure that we're lifting their gifts up and say, that's so awesome. Because when we lift other people up, our own identity is like lifted up, because we're like, actually, yeah, God has gifted them with that, but he's also gifted me with this, this, and this. And if you don't know what you're gifted in and things like that, you need to actually ask God, and God will reveal it over time, you know, what you're good at.
Yeah, it's a big deal to learn that you are in God's house. You are a royal priesthood. You are a son and daughter of the King of the Most High.
Yeah.
And you have the ability to go into the throne room of grace, like into his room, and talk to him. You have the same privileges as a prince, the prince of God. You have those same privileges as a princess would. We were just learning in there that the identity, your identity comes with protection and provision. And when you think about people who live in a castle with under a king, the prince and the princess, they have the privileges of all of the army of that land that the king has, the whole army looking after you. You have all of the provision that the king has. Our king, he put the whole world. He owns everything. And it's at his discretion to give it to you because you're in his family. And that's quite it's taken a long time for me to still understand that I'm actually a son, I'm a child of God, and I'm privileged. I'm in his family, and therefore I have these rights that people who aren't in his family don't get. So you need to understand who you are under God. You're a son and a daughter. And all of these privileges that he wants to give you are yours for the taking. But you have to take them. And so he gives you, your identity comes often from the gifts and the talents that you get. And you get those gifts and talents, he places them in your heart. You don't decide those. He places them in your heart. And the Bible says, I'll give you the desires of your heart. And so already, before you're born, he's placed these gifts and talents and desires in your heart. And he wants to give them to you. But he also wants, sometimes he wants to give you a whole lot more than you even think that you deserve. Sometimes our identity is less than what God wants us to be in. So understand that you're a son and a daughter of the Most High God. And you're in his family and you live in his house. And you're welcome to go and go up to him and say, hi, Dad.
Yeah.
Let's have a chat.
Yeah, I'll say something briefly. Just to give you a bit of context, sorry, I was talking about these seven girls that came up to me and basically said, you're not cool at all because you don't drink. But in the halls of residence, that's all anyone wants to do. That is the height of cool. How drunk you can get, that's basically worshipped in that environment. So the fact that I decided I wasn't going to drink was like social suicide, essentially. But I'm not saying that I hate alcohol, I'm just saying that was my decision to get through my university years because I want to be put in those situations. But what I remember God saying to me straight after that happened was that you are a child of God, and that's enough. Like, as soon as you add anything else onto that, like, I'm a child of God and I'm awesome at basketball, I'm a child of God and I'm this or that, you are getting your identity out of something that is not God. Like, it can only be out of God, because when you come into a situation like that where your identity is challenged, everybody is telling you that you're not cool because you don't do this, you have to know that you being a child of God is enough, and is so much is enough, just that alone. Because if everything else changes, your circumstances change, you move house, you move to a different city like I did, you have to know that that is who you are, the end.
Awesome. We've got time just for a couple more questions. So this is a really good one. What was the hardest thing you faced as a teen slash youth, and how did you deal with it?
So when I was 11, so pre-teen, I guess, but it's the hardest thing that I faced, my parents separated, and I'm the oldest of four children, and we lived with my dad. And so for me, being the eldest, it was kind of my responsibility to help look after the rest of my siblings, and it really, I think with being involved in church, and we had like Empower there, making sure that I was at church every week and hanging out with my friends from church, and my relationship with God really helped me come through that, because there was lots of emotions going around and lots of different things that I had to do, that as a normal 11 and 12 year old you wouldn't really have to do. But just being able to have that relationship with God and knowing that it was going to get better was just amazing. And I think the more that you can trust in God and the more that you press into Him, the more easier it is to get through those situations, even though they are quite difficult. But I think the cool thing is that when you get through those tough situations, it doesn't matter what kind of tough situation it is, when you look back, it's amazing to see what you have learned and to try and see all of those really cool positive things that have come out of a really bad situation. So that's something that I encourage you to do, is when you find yourself in a bad situation, it might be just something little, it might be something massive, when God brings you through that other side, look back, ask Him to show you what cool things that, or how you have grown through that and what you have learned through that, because He's never going to put you in a situation that He's not going to help you through. Okay? Not ever.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay? God is a God of strength and power, and He's not ever going to give you something that you can't handle without Him. Okay?
I'm going to get really real with you guys. So when I was 3 years old, my father actually passed away of cancer. And for me, that was a really hard time in my life. So when I kind of got to like intermediate and high school, I hadn't dealt with that, and I hadn't dealt with the pain of that. And what ended up happening was I started seeking love in places that I shouldn't. And for me, I ended up becoming really shameful, and then I was like, no one else around me understands what I'm going through. Like, I don't feel loved, and because of what I ended up doing, you know, I was like, I'm like, no one can love me no one can love me. So I kind of started falling away from church and started trying to seek love in other places. And what I realized was that no matter how much I sought for it in places on like movies and things like that, and you know, and guys and all these things, the reality of it is that it was never fulfilling. I still had that pain that I was not loved, that I was abandoned, that I was alone, and I couldn't understand why God would take my dad away from me. And what I had to do was actually understand that He didn't take Him away from me, that it was a circumstance that happened, and God did love me, and I'm still going through this journey of actually understanding, because I'm never going to understand why. That's the fact. But I'm now having to actually, from all the repercussions of what happened in my past, now I'm having to still work through a lot of those things, and a lot of things that I already thought I dealt with, but it come up, and it's constant temptations and things like that are constantly coming up. And it's because I allowed a lot of those things to kind of come in and to kind of influence me in that area. So, yeah, I think just knowing that, like, you have a choice. Like, you have a choice whether to, either flick that movie on, or you have a choice whether to, let a guy or let a girl, kind of come and get into your world and go too far. Like, you have a choice. And that's the biggest thing, is you actually have a choice. And that choice you make will affect the rest of your life. It really will. Obviously, there is grace and there is freedom, but we need to live with understanding that there are consequences. And that was the hardest thing that I had to journey through my teenage, because you're pumping with, like, heaps of emotions and feelings and all these things that you just don't expect, and they all hit at once, and you're like, I can't control them, and you feel like you're out of control, and you're just, yeah, and it's just so overwhelming, and you can even get down to thoughts of, I just don't want to even be here anymore. And it can be tough and it can be hard, but the number one thing I learned from my teenage years is I have to have people around me and actually listen to them and let them mentor in my life, because they are there for a reason and they're there to help me. Like, they were there to help me on my journey through that and to become who I am, today. So, yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. Thanks for being so vulnerable, guys. So just the last question. What is the one thing you love about God the most? Maybe you can answer it in just a few words or one sentence. Just one thing you love about God. Maybe all of you can answer that question.
For me, it's that He always has the plan before I do. He has got a plan for each and every one of your lives. And for me, that's just one thing that's really cool. And sometimes you don't realise why you go through different circumstances, whether they're exciting things or not so exciting things, but when you look back and you see how God was there right through every single part of it, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I love that He is good, and I think sometimes we can think that He's not that fun, but He actually is really fun. If He's told you not to do something, it's actually for your benefit.
Yeah.
And it took me a wee while to learn that, but like, God is actually good. So if He says do this, it's actually the best thing I could ever do with my life. If He says don't do this, it's also the best thing that I should never do, like, with my life. Yeah.
I just say it's forgiveness, and no matter how many times you screw up, you can always, like we were talking before, If you went to uni or something, and you went 6 months of this hardcore party, and you're totally off the rails, you're never so far off the rails that you can't just come back.
Yeah,
so just keep that in mind. Make a plan, though. I'm not giving you this isn't an out. But yeah, no matter what you do, He always loves you. He's got a love, forgiveness. So yeah, just remember that.
I think what I love about God is that no matter what, like, I can just come to Him angry, upset. Like, I can get so grumpy at God, and He takes it. He doesn't care. He wants us to come so vulnerable to Him. So sometimes I've had full-on yelling sessions at Him, but He still loves me no matter what, and that's just what I absolutely love about Him.
Yeah, the one thing that I really love about God is His unconditional love. It means that it doesn't matter what you do, He still loves you anyway. It doesn't matter if you, whatever you do, like Lee said, we're always falling over. We're never perfect. We always go, oh, damn, I just made that same mistake that I made 50 times before. You can still come back and He'll still love you unconditionally. The other thing that I really love about God is that, He forgives. But the mate, he never moves. He's always steady, He's always constant, you can trust Him, He's so dependable. And so you think, well, damn, I failed again. He's not going to like me. He always likes you. He always loves you. But I really go with what Shannon said. He's hanging out for you to come and talk to him. Yeah. Just have a chat. Just discuss stuff. He's always waiting for you to come and talk to him. That's what I really like about him. The freedom that you can have to come and just talk to him.
Awesome. Hey, can we give the panelists just a massive round of applause?